Joy to get to know Vision Baptist Church for many years when Pastor Perham was first starting out over in Buckeye. And this is a beautiful facility that God has provided for the church, and it's a blessing to see God working in this West Valley. My wife is with me, Adela, and Anna, some of you heard her play a few notes there. So we are thankful for living in Arizona for about 16 years this summer, and the Lord has called us to ministry, and it's exciting. Ministry is the best thing you can do with your life, with your time, with your energy, with however many talents you have. Maybe you only have one talent. Well, if you're called to ministry, use that talent, and God will multiply them and use you for His glory. The church that we are serving at is a church that we semi-planted, but it's going to have an anniversary this 28th of February, and it will be number 80. And you say, how can you plant a church that's 80 years old? Well, after 10 years of being on our own, the Lord opened up a door at Faith Baptist Church. It was a very similar church to ours, and the pastor there was in his 80s. And the Lord just knit our hearts together, and we thought, well let's, why don't we join efforts? So we ended up merging with Faith Baptist Church and inheriting a blessed heritage of just spiritual faithfulness. And our church used to be a Spanish church with an English ministry. And what we ended up doing is when we joined Faith Baptist Church, we just became a bilingual church. So we're more of two services in the morning with the Spanish at 9:15 and then the English at 10:40. And Pastor Spencer is actually preaching there right now for our English service. And it's a blessing to see God's faithfulness with just our community, how there is such a need for multicultural ministry. Not just languages, but so many cultures around us, and we're able to have a bilingual service in the evenings and Wednesday nights where it's almost like you're speaking in tongues. If no one interprets, then you will know what's going on. But it's only Spanish and English, and it's a joy to just follow the Lord in what He's leading us to do. It's not any of our doing, and it's not for our glory. It's for His glory, and it's because of His prompting and because of His leadership. I appreciate Pastor Schaefer, his friendship and his just friendliness towards us. He prays for us. He's a real blessing, and I understand he's in Texas right now. and just greet him for me when he comes back, and just pray for your pastor. It's a blessing to have faithful people in the flocks that God has called us to serve under, and you are my heroes. When you are here, when the pastor's not here, I commend you for that. He won't know if you made it or not. Probably there'll be someone taking notes, but he'll forget. But even in spite of that risk or that danger, you still decided to show up. And I praise God for that. And I hope that our congregation does the same thing when I'm not there. They just support the ministry. And it's not being here to please a pastor or please the deacons, it's here to please the Lord. And that's the responsibility of our churches, just to have spiritual, godly banquets every week so that people can fill their hearts with courage and joy and keep going for the rest of the week. So I'm thankful again for the opportunity to share with you this morning. I don't feel like a stranger to this church, although I don't think I have ever been here for a Sunday morning service. So being busy with church planning, a lot of times that's difficult, but it just worked out really well this morning. And some of you know Brother Spencer and his wife, Yvonne. She's a teacher here, and they were just a godsend. They moved in from Iowa about 3 years ago to Phoenix, and they've been a real blessing to our church. And I think one of our main themes this morning is going to answer that question. Am I really being a blessing to those around me? And there are so many people throughout my Christian walk that some of them already have been promoted to glory. Some of them are still around, but they're elderly and they can't go out and be a blessing as much as they used to in person. Now they just maybe just devote more time in prayer and just interceding for us. But even to this day, there are a lot of people in my life that God uses as a blessing. And when I turn to God's word and look for that relationship of mutual help and mutual encouragement, I found 16 verses that talk about the one another's, how we ought to be a blessing one to another. So I'm a blessing, I hope. You're a blessing, I hope. And I can be sure that you're a blessing to me. I can't be sure if I'm being a blessing to you, but at least I can try, right? And if you remember this during the week, we are very compassionate when we do a self-examination of our character. And when we ask ourselves, well, what do people see in me? How am I treating people? We're usually very compassionate. We say, I think you're trying your best. I think you're doing really well. You're such a joy to be around. Well, why don't you start asking people around you and say, am I sometimes a bother to you? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Really? And they'll take out a list of 44 things, right? So just this week, take a risk and ask your wife. And say, do I do something that annoys you a lot? Oh, really? You really want to know? And don't start an argument. It's Valentine's week, right? Celebration, so be careful. But it's good to ask. I ask this to our leaders at church sometimes. Is there something I do that really bothers you? And they said, yeah. And they give me a couple of things, and I say, wow, I don't think I can change it, but no, I'm not going to say put up with it. I'm really going to say, God allowing, God willing, I will make sure I don't do that. So the one another's. Let's start out with just a verse that introduces the relationship between each member of the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2:42. It says, and they, and that's talking about God's followers, the disciples, they continued steadfastly in Acts 2:42 in the apostles' doctrine, not just any teaching, biblical teaching. They continued to study steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. So as long as each of our churches here in the valley are steadfast and faithful in studying God's word. There are four things here. The first one is studying God's word, the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, and that's interacting with each other and being patient towards one another and forgiving one another. But then it says the breaking of bread, and you can't do that online. It's difficult to say, okay, now take your bread and now take the cup and this do in remembrance of me. It's necessary to be together, to be assembled, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And if at some point you are ill and you can't make it, it's great to be able to join with audio or video or both and just have a glimpse of what it's like to be here. But you know it's not the same to be behind the screen and being here. So they continue to fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. So let's ask the Lord to truly give us this morning a word of encouragement to continue to be faithful and to continue to make an effort to grow and to be more like Christ, which is a long life, a lifelong effort that as Christians we are commanded to do, but we are not left alone. By God's grace, we have the Holy Spirit to help us. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Dear God, I thank you for these commands from your word that you expect your church to continue steadfastly, to continually with fervor, with joy, with enthusiasm, to practice the things that make us honor and worship and do your will. And I pray that you would strengthen each of us to realize that I need your body around me to help me and to compliment me and to encourage me and to maybe even sometimes confront me and discipline me. And I pray that this morning we would all learn what our part is and how we can benefit from this constant awareness of what your will is regarding our community in Christ. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that I believe we can find is in Romans 12:10 with these one another's. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So giving preference to our neighbor, giving them priority. And there are a few questions that throughout our study this morning we should be asking ourselves. The first one is, am I having a lasting impact, hopefully positive, on the people around me? My brothers and sisters in Christ, my friends, my neighbors, and even those who don't know me. Do they see someone that's friendly, approachable, kind, humble, ready to help if there's a need? Another question would be, how do I know if I'm really being a blessing? How do I know if people are really happy to see me, or are they just saying it? It's easy to just say it because it's the kind thing to do. You're not going to go around, it's not really good to see you, but I guess you're here, so I'll put up with you for however long I have to put up with you. But are people thinking that? Are they thinking, hey, if I can spend more time with this person, I would be good. It'd be really nice because this person's super kind. She or he is a real encouragement, and I don't mind spending another 20 minutes or 15 hours or taking a long trip. I took a long trip to Florida from Arizona with someone that wasn't very easy to travel with. It was a single guy, about 10 years older than I was, and it seemed like it was a 200-hour trip. Somehow it worked out that he flew back, and I just loved that. I needed someone to talk to, but when that someone to talk to is just constantly rubbing you the wrong way or provoking you. And English is my second language, so you probably noticed that already. But that's when I really learned the meaning and the extent of being grumpy. He would ask me, are you grumpy? and I would say, no. No, I'm just being quiet. I'm being prudent, right? But these are the questions that I think we should be asking ourselves. What do people think about us? What do people feel or conclude when they're around me? Do they really enjoy being around me? And then the last question would be, who benefits from that effort? Because sometimes it does require some blood, sweat, and tears to be patient, to forgive, to be kind, to be loving when people aren't kind and when people aren't loving. So who's benefiting from this? Well, if we already read these verses, it says that they continued steadfastly. They means that they were together, regardless of the trials, regardless of the difficulties that they found. And Romans 12 says, be kindly affectionate one to another. So why do we ask the question, who benefits? Well, because we all want to see fruit from our labor, right? And if we are all making it a point to be kindly affectioned one to another, well, I'm also going to get some of that. So I'm going to give it, and hopefully I get some of it. And you're going to benefit from someone else's sacrifice and their time and their effort and energy to put up with you. So you're going to benefit from that. And I believe that this first one another is so important that we realize that we have to prefer one another. Give each other a priority. Think of how you can give and share before you get and expect for people to give to you. That's the way to live the Christian life. It is more blessed to do what? To give than to receive. And it is a lot more blessed because when you give, the Lord makes sure he gives you more because he sees that you're not hoarding everything. He sees that you're sharing and that you're being a blessing. And this week, when you ask your spouse or even your kids, is there anything I do that really puts you over the top with, it's difficult for you to put up with? If you do that, you're being a blessing to them because they can tell you. Now, if it's, I don't want to wake up, well, you have to wake up. But you yell at me when you want me to wake up. Well, maybe I can change that and I can have your mother yell at you. No, I'm just joking, right? Maybe I can change that and maybe I can come in and whisper, hey, it's time to go. You have 30 seconds. And then if you don't get up in 30 seconds, then I can yell at you. Deal? Deal. Romans 12:16 just basically uses the concept of being friendly. Just be a friend. Be a Jesus called us friends. He didn't say, you're my friends. He said, I'm your friend because I'm doing what a friend does. Even if you're my enemy, I'm going to be patient. And Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind, one to another. Mind not high things, but it says, condescend to men of low estate. In other words, just be someone that is approachable, that doesn't allow anyone to think, I'm scared of this guy. Look at his face. I'm scared of approaching him because he's got these fashions that I don't relate to. Or he's got these ink markings all over his face. Maybe he's a gang member, right? You don't want to make it hard on people to approach you. So just make it easy for them. Just have a clean face. You don't need to fill it up with ink. I've seen people judge me for judging them, right? You think I'm a gangster? No, I don't. I just see things and I don't know how to approach you. I'm sorry, right? And as a pastor, we deal with all kinds of people. And you have to be kind to them. Otherwise, they will accuse you of not being tolerant or being someone that condescends people, but this is not talking about condescending of thinking, okay, I'm going to swallow my pride and just treat everyone equally. It's talking about just being humble. It's talking about being friendly and not to be wise in your own conceit. It's comfortable for some of you or some of us with this pandemic, the social distancing. But for thousands of years, we've been preaching, shake hands, say hi, hug each other if you can, and be with people, but now you have to social distance. Some of us are like, oh, nice, right? Because that's my personality. Don't mess with me, I don't mess with you. But we need to still be friendly in however way we can very safely do so, but communicate your love creatively. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful or tender-hearted and courteous. Just be a friendly, approachable, kind person. Another one another is found in Romans 15:7. It says, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We are tired of hearing the concept of racial equality in the news. I just want to tell you, I don't care what level of melanin you and I have. We have the blood of Jesus that has made us one body. So when I look at my body, obviously one hand is going to be one color and the other hand is going to be the other color. But in God's body, in Christ's body, we're all different shapes and sizes. Right? Different countries, different backgrounds, different languages, different colors. But you know what? I love my body. I love my church. I love how God has put all of us so differently to be just one and be one body and be together. So don't have guilt for your color. Whatever color God gave you, praise God that you have skin. Amen? Praise God that you have Well, some of you can't do this, but you have hair, right? But I want it blonde, I want it black, I want it brown. Some of you can change it. But again, we have to receive one another, respect one another. And when I keep hearing that some people feel guilty for their race, don't do that. Just praise the Lord that you are alive and that you are healthy, regardless of your race. And you don't have to apologize to anyone for what the Lord created you in the first place. And I praise God for this country, because it's the country that has opened its doors more so than any other country to so many nationalities, to so many races, and even so many creeds. And it's so respectful, but as a church, we can't lose that because of our society, how it's the tendency to seek more division in the name of unity. So by God's grace, the Bible has given us the secret to what this world hasn't even found. They think that they know how to create equality and racial and social justice. They don't know how to do it. In their effort to do it, they have accomplished the opposite. And that's something to expect. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, out of your mouth, but in this law thou shalt meditate day and night. What's the fruit of that? What's the product of meditating God's word day and night? It tells us that then shall we make our way prosperous, and basically you will have good success. So the only true key to success is meditating on God's word. Not just by reading a verse a day and forgetting about it, but actually trying to understand, and once you understand, say, hey, I really have to receive one another. I really have to do this to the glory of God, and I really have to be respectful to everyone, even if I don't feel like it. And it pays off. There have been people that I've been kind to, even if I didn't really feel it was easy, but I was respectful to them. And then they ended up being a blessing to me. And I think that being a Christian really makes sense when it comes to the contradiction of, man, being a Christian is so hard. No, it's so hard not being a Christian, because you really don't have answers to anything. You end up with the opposite effect of what you're searching for. Romans 15:14 also says that we should be instructing one another or admonishing one another. And again, as a Christian, I've met a lot of other people that have the gift of confrontation. But I'd much rather meet someone that has the gift of consolation. Now, I need to be confronted. Don't get me wrong. But remember what the goal of confronting is? Restoration, right? To get that person back into loving God and to love you too, not hate you. Well, yeah, you're right. I need to do right, but you were kind of mean about it, right? It's good that we speak the truth, but what does Ephesians tell us? Tells us that we need to speak the truth in love. And Romans 15:14 says, "And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Don't wait for the pastor to encourage others to do right. Now, there's a fine line between meddling in something that's not your business and seeing if your brother needs a little hand. And if you can't help them, then tell the pastor, hey, can we help so-and-so because they're backsliding. But I can call them during the week. It says we are able with knowledge to admonish what? One another. And I can learn as much from you as you can learn from us. Because it's a one another. We're one body. And yes, pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists and missionaries have chosen to do this as a full-time ministry to share and admonish others. But we so much need you to admonish us as well. We're one body, and we need to submit one to another. And I am thankful for the way godly laymen have taken time to polish this unpolished servant. And I praise God for how he uses unexpected means as well. Sometimes you're reading a book and the author never is going to know what his words, the effect they had on people. But I'm thankful for authors that take time and write down the things that they learned and share it with others. And that's the next one another. We ought to be sharing. And 2 Corinthians 8, 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance, in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to see, and in love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What is that grace? The grace of sharing. The grace of saying what's mine is the Lord's. And I can share it with you. And if you don't share with me, that's okay. Because God's got a flow of abundant provision that he's got in store for his people. And I will never lack anything. We ought to greet one another. 2 Corinthians 13, 12, it says, with a holy kiss. But obviously, before and after the pandemic, we still don't practice that in Baptist circles, right? At least independent Baptists. But that was the acceptable way to greet one another in that context, in that culture. In our culture, the best way to greet one another, it could be a bow right now, right? The social distancing, it could be a fist bump, it could be a quick handshake and then go sanitize yourself, right? We're not going to do the blood brothers handshakes anymore. But what we do is just acknowledge that someone's in the room and say, hi, guys. Bye, guys. Hola, amigos. Adios, amigos. Right? We just need to be kind and friendly and greet one another and then show your friendliness by serving them. The next one another is found in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So I believe Vision Baptist Church is serving one another. You say, well, then we don't need to hear that. But remember what we read in Acts 2:42? Continue steadfastly. So that's really what we need to hear this morning. We're on the right track. If a few of us aren't, we're going to get all in the right direction, headed the same, pointed to the same goals, and then just continue steadfastly. Don't give up. You've heard of the phrase, be tired in the ministry, but don't be tired of the ministry. Just keep going. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. If you what? Faint not, or trip. If you trip up, get back up, get restored, get right. And yes, Valentine's Day is coming, and hopefully it's not the happiest time of the year. Every day is a day to love your spouse. Every day is a day to love your children. But make sure you don't forget to get her something, okay? She will forgive you, though, so be okay with that. So serve one another. Take this opportunity, any opportunity you have, to just be a blessing to those around you. Galatians 6:2 and Galatians 6:4 has the same concept. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So there are burdens that are too heavy for you. Ask for help. If there's a burden that's bearable, in verse 4 of Galatians 6 says, bear each one your own burden, okay? So don't burden people. You probably heard the concept of people that are drama magnets. And they're just getting the drama from everywhere, from the news, from the neighbors, from their relatives, from their health, and just all these dramatic things are happening, and when you talk to them, they pour it all on you. Well, why can't you just handle it, assimilate what's going on, be at peace, have God's peace in your heart, and then when you talk to me, maybe you can share a burden, but don't try to bring to my life all the trials that you are juggling with. Kindness, another thing that we see that is going to benefit everyone, based on Ephesians 4:32, talks about being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So you see two things in these in this one verse: be kind and forgive. And a lot of times, when we think of forgiving someone, it's not because it doesn't hurt anymore. It's just because that's what Christ did for us, right? And Christ didn't say, I'm going to think about it. Christ said, I'll forgive you. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. If someone's evil to me, I return kindness and forgiveness. It says we ought to be pursuing what's good for all of us, for ourselves, and for those around us. Being patient towards others, Colossians 3:13. Okay, you could probably print this one out and put it on your wall. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a quarrel against any or a complaint, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another. Home life should be great. Home life should be paradise. Home life should be a piece of heaven on earth, because there are saved people, saved children. Everyone wants to do what's right. The Holy Spirit is guiding each of us being led of the Spirit. Why is there contention then? Because we have not been obedient to that continuing steadfastly. And that word steadfastly talks about you have to be conscious. It's not going to be automatic, because we have our bodies still under the curse of sin. We are still going to die one day. So that punishment that God punished Adam and Eve with, the day that you will eat of this fruit, you will surely die, it really is going to happen to all of us. And it has happened, and it will continue to happen. But the only difference is that if you die without Christ, you will not go to paradise in heaven, but you will go to hell. And that's something this church preaches, and you shouldn't be surprised about it, but it applies to you. And if you have Christ as your Savior, you have asked him to forgive you, it shouldn't be that difficult to just start making progress. And as Brother Mendez mentioned, baby steps. But don't keep tumbling, and you're 40, and you've been saved for 20 years. Just start making progress, and this patience that God gives us is something that comes from him. It's not from our flesh. Our flesh is weak. We ought to be loving. You say that's a given. Well, loving means giving. The shortest definition of loving. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. Yes, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, he is with you. And that's a promise. And it says that this godly love, that this love of God will abide in us, and this love is perfected in us, which means that it gets completed. God's love is beneficial to the whole universe. But you know what? There are people that don't know the Lord. And how will they hear? How will they know if there is no one to share that love with you, with them? So that's how God's love is completed. He gave it to us. Now it's time to give it. It's time to share it. It's time to perfect his love and to complete his will. Colossians 3:16 says that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you don't enjoy the songs that your church is worshiping with, what do? You say, who's wrong? right? What's wrong with these beautiful hymns that we sing? What is wrong with this letter, with this text? What is wrong with old traditional hymns? There's nothing wrong with them. Praise God for traditional churches. There's nothing old-fashioned about worshiping God with scriptural songs. And it says that we ought to be admonishing one another. And it does go counter even Christian culture to just do sacred hymns. It really does. So many churches are just letting their hair down with and they call it worship. It's hard to call what's going on in a lot of churches worship of God. I see more worship to our emotions. I see more worship to the performers. I see more worship to their flesh. And I praise the Lord that the Bible does say that the songs have to be spiritual. They have to be biblical. They have to be clean. They have to be clear. They have to be controlled, because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us that self-control. And at the same time, I believe that the Holy Spirit gives us that joy. Our hearts are leaping for joy, right? Our hearts are dancing for joy, but we're not getting anybody distracted, right? If you want to go in a closet and start shaking, and you can do that. You're not distracting anyone. I don't know how much benefit you're going to get from that spiritually or lastingly, but I do believe when you are thinking and focused on God's holiness, when you're singing these praises to Him, I believe that it's truly a spiritual moment and not full of your flesh. Encouraging one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just also ye do. So, comforting one another. We all need comfort. You could probably count at least half a dozen to a dozen people that were closer to your circle of family and friends that have passed away. It's a time for comfort. It's a time for saying, yes, he had pre-existing conditions, but that doesn't make his passing any easier, because he had been holding on for so long, and then this crazy illness is bringing so much death and illness and difficult times for people. And that's why we need to be praying for one another. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. This is in the context of an illness, and it's commanded here that if there's an illness as a result of a sin, to just confess that, and God will heal the sick. And it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can't do much. You can't do the bus ministry. Why don't you spend time praying? And maybe when you're praying, you will say, there's a need there. Maybe I can do something. Maybe I can use my car. Maybe I can use a smaller vehicle. And then once we can't fit there, then we can start using the bus. That's a blessing to know that the Lord has provided that open door for someone to just say, I think I need to start praying for that. And a lot of times that becomes God's urging for you to do something about it as well, and be creative. Maybe there's a team of you that can rotate and have turns and get those kids to church. So pray for one another, be hospitable one to another, 1 Peter 4:9. Be humble with those around you, Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. So these 16 one another's, I believe, go hand in hand with the each once of the Bible. I found two or three each once. So it's easy to say, well, we all have to do this, but what am I going to do? Well, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it's given to individuals. And if we're not willing to take that manifestation of the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit, your loving others, your joy, your peace, if you're not displaying that lifestyle, then no one's going to benefit. So it's an individual effort. It's an individual commitment. 1 Peter 4:10, there's another one that's called each one's. So we saw that 1 Corinthians 12:7, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man or as each man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's really God's grace that has held us together. It's really God's mercy that we have not been consumed. And if he doesn't want us to depart yet, we're still here. Let's use our lives for something eternally beneficial. Colossians 1:27 calls these manifold graces of God as the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in us and has forgiven our sins and has given us a new life and even a new name. And that's why God has given us pastors and fathers and mothers and leaders, Christian teachers, so that we are directed in the right direction, so that we can all point towards the same goal and that we enjoy the ride, okay? Again, if we're going to travel together, why don't we just make of that ride a blessing? And I pray that these one another's are an encouragement to each of us. They have already been an encouragement to me. And I was here on Tuesday, or was it Thursday? Tuesday with chapel with young people in school. And I was amazed at how much progress I see. From 1 month to another, I see how God has used the staff here and the teachers and the ministering of the teachers in the classroom. The quality of Christian education that your kids are getting here is amazing. So I praise God for that aspect of Vision Baptist. And I pray for each aspect. I pray for the pastor that God has given you, that you would say, you know what? Praise the Lord, he's not perfect. Otherwise, he wouldn't be human. So pray for your pastor. And he did not pay me to say this, okay? I love Pastor Schaefer, and I see the vision that he has. Maybe that's why he called him here, right? And you just continue to follow that vision and say, you know what? I see things too. And I hope that at some point those two visions come together and we can accomplish what God wants, but together, because we need to persevere in this process. And I love how 2 Chronicles 7:14 puts it, if we humble ourselves and pray. Just keep humbling yourselves each week, not just when you got saved, not just when you're in trouble. Humble yourself each day, and then you will see God answer your prayer. He will see you. He will revive you. He will heal you, and he will completely answer your prayer requests for his glory. Ultimately, it's all for his glory, and that's why we should be rejoicing. That's why we should be excited about what's coming. And by God's grace, we have an evening service tonight. Come back. Well, I'm not usually there. Why not? You're going to have three preachers, right? Amen. Three preachers. Wow. Well, what if one of them goes over? That'll be a 20-minute sermon plus a 20-minute sermon. What's their limit? 10 minutes. But you get long-winded. I'll risk it. Amen. I'll risk it. And I'll see if they stay under 10 or over 10. I need whatever God put in their heart because they prepared. And they don't want to be preaching to empty chairs. So come back tonight. Rejoice with what God is doing. Let's pray. God, you are